live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, thanks for being here this afternoon, back after a few days off. And I want to talk about a local place of interest and an update on some things going on. Joel Goodwill, now the winery manager at the Southern Oregon Wine Institute. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Carl.
So talk about your role. What are you going to be doing out there?
Well, I am the manager of Southern Oregon Wine Institute, and I oversee basically everything from winemaking and day-to-day operations to facility management. And my least favorite is government paperwork.
So
compliance.
I'm sure you won't have any paperwork with this job.
No. Evidently, we're going paperless, and yeah, they eliminated all that stuff. It's great.
Maybe not. Talk about your background prior to coming here. It sounds like you've been involved a lot in the wine industry,
which is crazy. Because I'm only 29, but I have like 35 years of experience.
So. One of those.
Yeah, I got out of college and I went to work for Ernest and Julio Gallo, and I was actually in marketing and sales management, and I loved the industry. I just didn't really care for working for the man, and so I actually jumped into managing smaller wineries, and that brought me to the Umpqua Valley in the early 90s, where I was part of a winery, and one thing led to another, and pretty soon I had my own winery in the Columbia Gorge, where I co-wrote the Columbia Gorge, the application to the ATF to make it a designated AVA. After 20 years of that, it was apparent that my two sons did not want to take over the winery, so I sold it and became involved with a hard cider company in, of all places, Salt Lake City, Utah, and I've been there the last few years, and I wanted to get back to the Northwest, closer to family, and this opportunity presented itself, and here I am, and I couldn't be happier.
How did you get interested in the whole wine industry to begin with?
I don't think it was necessarily an attraction to the wine industry specifically. I was more fascinated in something that was raised on a farm, and then it goes through a process where a recipe, if you will, is developed, and then a label is developed and a marketing plan. It just has everything about running a business that I thought was really fascinating.
And did you look at other career ideas, or did this one kind of be there pretty early?
Ideally, I wanted to be a relief pitcher for the Mariners, but evidently you need to have athletic, you know, gifts, and I didn't have that, so here I am, plan B.
So talk about the Southern Oregon Wine Institute and what it's all about.
Southern Oregon Wine Institute was brought about, Scott Henry, who's legend in this area in the grape growing wine industry, he always said that there's no famous wine growing region in the world that doesn't have its own educational facility. And so I think that was kind of the seed that was planted to build this momentum and get the facility built. And so that's the Southern Oregon Wine Institute.
And probably been around longer than people maybe even think about.
Yeah, it's you and I were just talking, thinking, it's just a couple of years ago when that was built. And I had to go, well, wait a minute, it's been like 15 years.
Yeah, no, it's been a quick-moving time since then, but there was a ton of interest as it got started because people really caught on to what Scott Henry and other folks had talked about an opportunity to really kind of raise the bar and improve the visibility of the whole industry in the area by having education tied to it.
Well, I think that says something about Douglas County in general, where the residents here are proud of the fact that there's a world-class wine-growing region, and then you have these brilliant winemakers that craft those grapes into award-winning wines, and I think it's a pride thing where residents of Douglas County are so enthusiastic about their local industry that that's what built the enthusiasm for SOE.
Now, you talked about your work in the Columbia Valley, and I'm curious, do you remember around what year it was that they got the AVA up there?
That would have been about 98.
And I would have guessed that it would have been much earlier.
Well, I was in the Columbia Gorge AVA.
Okay.
Columbia Valley was back in the 80s.
Ah, okay. Well, maybe that's the two. So just to essentially get its own because of the diversity of the climate.
Yeah, and it's a stack of paperwork. And I believe the Umpqua Valley was designated very early 90s or very late 80s, somewhere in there. And it made a huge difference. A lot of these wineries are marketing themselves out of state, and they have out of state distribution, and to be able to put Umpqua Valley on their label is a huge deal to this region.
And one of the things that has been talked about over the past 10 years or so in particular is the diversity of the varietals that could be successfully grown in this region as being one of the top places in the world where you can grow so many, because we've got so much diversity in the climate.
Yeah, and to steal a phrase from somewhere else, you have a world of wine within 50 miles.
And what attracts you about that?
I think what you just said is the diversity. You know, the Willamette Valley to the north, it's cooler and it's a little more rain, although you wouldn't know it the last few weeks I've been here. But the Willamette Valley is generally known for Pinot Noir, Pinot Gris, and those are cooler climate varieties. Where here in the Umpqua Valley, there's Cabernet and Merlot and Syrah and Tempranillo and Chardonnay, and the diversity that this region offers is really quite unique.
What do you think are some of the strengths that you bring to this program?
Well, I would say 30 years plus of experience, and I'm a bit of a unicorn, if that doesn't sound egotistical, but I am an award-winning winemaker, but I wouldn't say I'm the best winemaker, you know, in the Northwest or in the country, but I'm good at it. But I also know how to manage a winery, and I know all aspects. I know the production side, the business side, the vineyard management side, the procurement side, the marketing side, and so I'm kind of a hybrid where I'm experienced in all facets of the wine industry.
So getting started at this, what's your kind of vision for SOE right now in the next few months?
Probably getting a grasp on all the procedures and everything with a state-funded agency, and tying up loose ends and getting it streamlined to go into the future.
And what is SOE offering this fall?
Right now, we are in a bit of a recovery phase. I don't know if you heard, we had this pandemic thing for the last 2 years, and that kind of stalled a little bit of the momentum that the program had, you know, 2.5 years ago. So going into this fall, we want to offer our what we call an incubator program, where if perhaps a local vineyard, or even you, Kyle, if you wanted to start your own winery, you could use our facilities to do that and use your startup capital elsewhere building your own facility. But our incubator program is designed for vineyard operators who eventually want to have their own wine brand. We can do that for them. And then our custom crush program, we can make your wine for you under your supervision, or however you want it, whatever style wine you want, or but we can do that for you, and we can house your product at SOE.
And what about reaching out to people that are just sort of interested in maybe getting into this as a career?
Yeah, and those programs will start up again, back to pre-pandemic. But that's, you know, stay tuned for further information on, you know, what direction the program goes as far as educational opportunities.
So how important is it to have that winery there and that facility available?
I think it's great for the Roseburg and Douglas County community. I think it's a centerpiece for the entire region. Something certainly Douglas County could be proud of. I hope everybody feels like it's theirs, you know. As far as the facilities are available for private functions, and it's certainly a place, as a new resident to Douglas County, it's certainly a place that I'm really proud of.
All right, more when we come back on Inside Douglas County. Joel Goodwillie from Umpqua Community College and the Southern Oregon Wine Institute. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1. Shannon Sebastian with your Q. Part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Joel Goodwillie from the Southern Oregon Wine Institute, the new winery manager there at SOE. I'm curious about the process that led to getting you here, because you said you were in Utah more recently, right?
Yeah, I had the winery in the Columbia River Gorge on the Washington side of the Columbia River, and been doing that for 20 years, and what a just an incredible 20 years that was, raising a family and an incredible business. But like I say, my sons didn't want to take over the business, and so I had an opportunity to be part of a hard cider company in, of all places, Salt Lake City, Utah, and it was a fun 7 years, but ultimately I really wanted to get back to the Pacific Northwest and be closer to my family.
What's different working on hard cider? What's interesting about that?
Hard cider is exactly like making white wine. It's like making Chardonnay. And when it all comes down to it, it's all just rotten grape juice. You know, you manipulate it and you refine it and you can clean it up, but at the end of the day, it's just making wine.
Now, is the time process similar in terms of from the time you get your grapes to the time your product's ready to sell?
Well, white wine can be on the shelf as quickly as, you know, 4 weeks from grapevine to shelf. Cider, I had it down to about 3 weeks. And red wine, you know, if you barrel age it, depending on your barrel program, maybe you want to age it for a year or 2 years or even 3 years, you're looking at higher inventory costs.
And so that way, with the cider, then you can, you're not just sitting on a bunch of money that you can't sell yet, essentially, or make.
Yeah, you get out and start turning into money.
Wow. So had you, now you said you had a bad period of time that you were here before in the, 90s in the Umpqua Valley?
Yeah, early 90s. And that was when the Umpqua Valley was still fairly new. There were, maybe 5 wineries at the time. And now, you know, there's, I think we're approaching 20.
Well, and what was it like during that period of time versus what you see now?
I think the wine quality, it's taken those 3 decades for vineyard owners and winemakers to see what does really well here. And this is the oldest AVA in Oregon, I believe, and there's a pioneer by the name of Richard Sommers that had Hillcrest Winery that went back to, I want to say, late 60s or mid 70s. So there's history here.
Well, and even further back, it's kind of fascinating too, because there was some of that activity going on pre-prohibition.
Yeah.
But then that all stalled things out, and then it kind of sat there for a long time.
Yeah, the noble experiment that lasted a decade.
Right. And so this area has gotten more and more popular. As you come back now, and you're just getting to know people here, because you've only been here how long?
I'm on week 4.
Right. So a lot of people probably yet to learn, but what do you see so far about this area in terms of looking at its potential?
first of all, it's really great to see the wineries working together and promoting not just themselves, but they're promoting the region. And I think that is one of the most important things that the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association is doing right now, and that is working together. I always mix up the expression, but let the tide rise all the boats, or however that goes. And that's exactly what these wineries are doing. They all get along, and they work really well together. And I've been in regions where it was just me against you, and they weren't nearly as successful as everybody working together.
And I've even heard stories going back to the early days from some of the local winemakers about, and this is back in the 70s, where all these guys were it at that point and would sit around and evaluate each other's product, you know, pretty regularly.
Yeah, and I at least the regions I've come from, and I'm guessing it's the same here in the Umpqua, where, yeah, these winemakers probably get together and I wouldn't even call it critiquing. I hope it's more of a fellowship and camaraderie where they just get together and talk wine.
So talk about the vineyards there at SOE.
The vineyards are modest. The main vineyard that kind of surrounds the winemaking facility, I want to say it's probably about 4 acres, and it's planted with several different varieties, including Pinot Noir, Sauvignon Blanc. I think there's a block of Tempranillo there. And then across the parking lot, there's another 4 acres or so that was also planted. And there was a few rows that need to be replanted, which isn't unusual in the vineyard business. They're not very old. They're just a few years old. And, you know, sometimes for whatever reason, vines just don't take. So they have to be replaced.
So do you have a particular varietal you really like?
I have several. I can think of my favorite that I've ever had is not available in the United States, and I enjoyed it while on holiday on the Etna in Italy, and it was called Cesenea, and it was just a muddy, dark, almost black, thick red. And that comes to mind as my favorite wine I've ever had, and I haven't had it since. But I'm a big fan of Spanish Rioja, so Tempranillo falls in that category. And I was actually the first Tempranillo grower in the state of Washington. So I have a fondness for that variety. And I, you know, we can thank Abicella for that. And Earl Jones really brought that variety to mainstream. And without him, it certainly wouldn't be as prominent as it is now.
What about other varietals you especially like?
Viognier for white wine. Also, I the Pacific Northwest has such an incredible cuisine. I mean, we have an ocean an hour and a half away, and we have mountains nearby. And so just anything that grows and swims and runs through the forest, we have that. Now, coming from Utah, there's no regional cuisine. And so it's that's how the wine industry kind of complements our cuisine. And one of the things where I think we're thriving here is because there is a unique culinary cuisine.
Now, at SOE, part of that facility, of course, is the tasting room and the event area. Is there a regular schedule yet at this point for when it's open?
We are just kind of pulling out of the pandemic, and things are starting to get back to normal. And we're just meeting... we're having meetings to try to get that pointed in the right direction now. So it's coming.
And what are other things about what might be ahead for SOE that you're working on?
Well, I think our focus really is parallel to the mission statement of the college. We are here to serve the community. And any way we can help the local wine industry, we're there. You know, and obviously the educational offerings is a big part.
All right, Joel Goodwillie, winery manager, Southern Oregon Winery, Southern Oregon Wine Institute. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, it's been great. Thanks for having me.
1257 Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.